entertainer, and entrepreneur answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Larry Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
It's time for Tuesday's top-notch political professional wrestling series, The American Adversaries. And yes, we are the good American adversaries, because to be a good American, you cannot shirk your duty to be adversarial when the moment demands it. Larry Adams and the crew of AM 660, The Answer with you, live for the next hour. Yes, everyone in talk radio is having a merry old time with the exchange Nancy Pelosi had with Jon Stewart, where she uttered the only truthful words she's ever said. I don't know. On a subject, Obamacare, that she should be an expert on. That's why he called her on the show. Friends, this is such a mean way to treat someone afflicted with Aunt Clara syndrome. Best known from the character in the TV show Bewitched, Aunt Clara. You remember Aunt Clara? Yeah, I was like, Aunt Clara, you turned Darren into a chinchilla. I was only trying to fix his fly or his tie. Well, you may not be old enough to remember that, but our host is. Just crinkle your nose like you have a bug up it, and here he is, Christopher Hart.
All right, thank you so very much.
Noise made.
Yeah, that's right. All right, welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the.
I don't know.
All right, Aunt Clara,
You talking about Paul Lynn?
Yeah. Oh, what was his name?
Uncle Arthur.
Uncle Arthur, that's right. Okay, we'll get him to take care of Aunt Clara.
Yeah, I need that in mind like
That's right, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries in Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer. And that's right, we are coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios in beautiful Altamont Springs, Florida. Don't forget, for the best in Mercury Free dentistry, call Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399. And if you aren't getting Mercury Free dentistry, you are doing it wrong, because those silver fillings are poison. They are loaded with poison. You need to get them out of your mouth. If they're in there, don't get them in the first place if you do not have any. But if you would like to know more about it, Dr. Hardy's going to be on our show. He has written a book on the topic, and you can call him at 407-678-3399. And once again, I'd like to ask you to call him and just thank him for being a part of our show, because it's very important that we get that sort of support to be able to continue to do this show.
And remember, folks, mercury is fine for thermometers, but not the inside of your mouth.
Have you ever seen what you have to do if you drop one of those little fluorescent bulbs? Do you know why you have to go through all those things?
Because mercury is such a deadly, deadly substance.
Why would anybody want to stick it
in their
head?
You can absorb it in your skin and have it kill you.
That's right. And folks, if you're out there and you are suffering from chronic diseases, anything from joint pain to muscular diseases to brain related stuff. Immunodeficiency disease, neurological disorders, and your doctors just can't figure out what's going on, go right now. Look in the mirror. Turn the radio up so you can still hear us. Look in the mirror, and if you can see quote-unquote silver fillings, which are probably mostly black in your mouth by now, maybe, I can't say that it is, but it may very well be the source of your problem. Mercury is poison, and that's what those things are made of. That's why another reason why we're proud to have Dr. Hardy as a part of the team.
Yep.
All right, so let's get down to business tonight. Yeah, that Stewart thing, I saw that. Actually, they replayed it again the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And
I've seen it several times.
It was funny because at the very end, she tells John Stewart to do something about it. You know, the whole Obamacare thing. She goes, okay, do something about it. And he kind of sits back, you know, shocked. He laughs. He goes, well, that's what I was going to tell you. And you hear the audience laugh, and then they go, and that's the end of it. It is just so bizarre. What is going on with these people? By the way, folks,
you got to give John credit. You really do, because no one else has been able to show Pelosi for what she is to that segment of America that doesn't ever watch Fox or listen to people like us. He has done a fantastic job.
Sad thing is, next time there's an election, I'm sure he's going to go out and vote for the local Democrat. First of all, let me just say this. We've got a great guest lined up for you today, folks. His name is Dan Bongino. He is a former Secret Service agent. He worked in the elite presidential security detail, presidential protective division, they call it, for both George W. Bush and Barack Obama. He has written a book called Life Inside the Bubble, Why a Top-Ranked Secret Service Agent Walked Away from It All. And he's going to have some very, very interesting things to tell us today, and I really look forward to that, and we'll have him starting in the next segment. But before we get to that, I'd like to actually talk about another interview that happened, this one with the president, with Bill O'Reilly. And,
oh, yeah.
This was prior to the Super Bowl, a live interview at the White House prior to the Super Bowl.
Talked about it in my opening yesterday.
Yeah, you did. And O'Reilly replayed the interview last night and kind of patted himself on the back. And fortunately, Bernard Goldberg, I think, really actually put it all in perspective. My take on it is, and I want to talk about something in particular the president said, but just in general, my take on that interview is, I hope that's the last of those. First of all, it's not an appropriate place. It puts a whole pall, if you will, on the Super Bowl. This is Super Bowl, you know, and you're going to do an interview like this prior to the Super Bowl. Yes, the interview needed to be done, but then again, maybe it didn't, because all it did was allow the president to sit there and smugly lie to us, stone cold dead to our faces again. I am sick of it. We have heard enough of his lies. It's enough have to hear him in the State of the Union and that sort of thing.
He ever did give an answer.
Well, he gave answers, but they were full of lies and half-truths and prevarications and dodges.
That's it. Points where he just didn't even bother to answer the question.
Or if he did, like I said, it was just full of lies. In particular, he lied about the numbers of people. He bragged about the numbers of people under Obamacare. 3 million have bought into Obamacare. What he doesn't tell you is that 3 million, he's talking about 3 million youths now in Obamacare, that a couple of million of those are kids who are still on their parents, who are already on that, you know, because it's...
Insurance companies were doing that anyway.
Exactly. I mean, everything that. So my opinion of this from Bill O'Reilly is enough is enough. Okay, Mr. O'Reilly, you're a big man. You proved it all. And by the way, he is an extremely big man. I'm about 6 feet, and standing next to him, I felt like a little kid. He is in stature a huge man. But okay, you're the king of the block. I mean, you do not need to do this. All you did was give the president a way to, once again, make his case, lie to us, and in the process, I believe he belittled Fox. He called them their TV station. Trying to say, "Oh, it's all your fault." And O'Reilly says, "You know, all I can do is ask the questions, and it's up to the president to do, you know, what he's going to tell you." Well, Mr. O'Reilly, you could have at one point said, "Mr. President, with all due respect, sir, we've already heard all of that before. If you want to say Fox has been saying things about you, it's because we have found out that what you're saying is not the truth, sir." And confront him that way. But once again, Super Bowl is not the best place for that sort of thing, in my opinion. And as far as I'm concerned, Barack Obama does not need that kind of stage anymore. He needs to be marginalized, not maximized. O'Reilly doesn't need the ratings.
I don't know that it did either one of them any good.
If anybody, it did Obama good. Because now
he may have come across to some people that were on the fence a bit, he was nice, and that O'Reilly was badgering him. And O'Reilly was asking him good questions, but he was letting a lot of his personality get out there, too.
And the problem is he didn't have the good, he asked good questions, not very good follow-ups.
Yeah.
In my opinion. But one thing that the president that O'Reilly focused on was the IRS scandal. And, of course, the president sat there and lied to us and told us that there was no, you know, there was not, I think he used the word iota, you know, there was no, not one iota of scandal or misabuse. It was all due to some boneheaded, quote unquote, boneheaded decisions made by the IRS people. Okay. And O'Reilly pressed him, well, you know, why hasn't anybody been disciplined? Why was the IRS, the head of the mm-hmm. IRS in the White House more than any other
yes,
cabinet
uh-huh.
member? Did he meet with him? Did he meet with the president that many times? And, oh, he was there dealing with Obamacare and these other things and this and that. And the other.
And we hadn't had Obamacare before, so that's the reason why he had to be there so many times.
Right, but even still then, he did get the president to at least admit that the IRS made, in regard to those conservatives who were targeted, some boneheaded decisions. Okay, now, jump forward to today, or yesterday. It came out, revealed by Fox, that those boneheads that made those boneheaded decisions are going to get their bonuses. Not only are they not going to be disciplined, not only are they not going to be fired or anything like that, given leave of absences, even, I guess, called to testify, interviewed by the FBI, they are going to get their bonuses for making boneheaded decisions.
Because their union.
Because the union, exactly, pitched a fit about it. All right, let's go to Diane, who's calling, and see if she wants to pitch a fit about Obama. Diane.
Something she says about Obama lies? No, Diane. No, it can't be true.
The IRS is so morally inept.
Well, not only that, but a lot of what they do, I would say, is immoral. Period.
Immoral and illegal.
Yeah, well, in this case, yes, it was. And once again, what the IRS is doing now is basically inculcating into their rules and regulations the things that they did. So,
well, they have to get a pat on the back so they can gear up for the 2014 election.
Yeah, I hear you.
And the CBO came out today and just made him a big fat liar on everything he said about the health care bill.
Yeah, the CBO, that's Congressional Budget Office, is revealed today that 2.5 million people are going to be losing their jobs due to Obamacare. All right. Okay, thank you, Diane. We got to go because we have to get take the break so we can get our guest in with us. Appreciate you being out there. Thank you so much. Okay.
Well, actually, yes. We just got a note from Nick. Oh, I'm sorry. You can't hear, can you, Chris?
No.
He's on the line if you want to skip a break. Or
yeah,
you
we'll
want
take
to go
him
to,
right now.
We'll go right now, folks.
Okay, we'll just go right through the break because I want to take as much time as we can with our guest. As I told you just a few minutes ago, he is a former Secret Service agent. For 12 years, he was an agent. He specialized originally in, I think this is fascinating, computer crimes. He went on to become a part of the Presidential Protective Division. He resigned to write the book, Life Inside the Bubble, Why a Top-Ranked Secret Service Agent Walked Away from It All. So let me welcome to the show this afternoon, Dan Bongino. Thank you for being with us, Mr. Bongino. And am I pronouncing your name correctly, please?
Yeah, which is amazing. No one ever gets it right in the first time. So congrats
right.
on that.
Right.
And Dan, people just call me names, so I'm used to it.
I just roll with it. I'm not sensitive. So.
Okay. All right. Well, I understand you can only have a few minutes to stay with us. I'd love to get you back in the future, but let's get right to it. Life Inside the Bubble. You talk about an alternate reality that the president is thrust into when he becomes the president and takes the oath of office. Can you sort of elaborate a little bit more what you mean by that?
Yeah, it's like the new celebrity politics, and specifically the presidency. And I want to be careful here. It's not just the presidency, but the presidency, the degree of it's the worst. It's like Hollywood celebrity for people who aren't attractive enough to act. And what happens is they wind up surrounding themselves with these hangers-on and these acolytes, these appointees almost, whose skills range from butt-kissing to maybe writing a good speech once in a while, and that's really the limit of a lot of their skills. And what happens is it has a very dangerous and pernicious side effect in that the leader of the free world, the President of the United States, gets a very skewed view of what's going on in America. And I know that might sound crazy, because we all watch the news, and no matter which station you choose to listen to or watch on TV, everybody thinks they know what's going on and assumes the president's seeing the same thing. I assure you, after 2 or 3 years of this, surrounding yourself with all these yes men, what the president sees and what's really happening are two very different things, and you're seeing it right now with Obamacare.
You refer to the president's life, his entire life while he's president, being basically scripted.
Right. It's like the Truman Show. Remember that movie with Jim Carrey,
yes.
The Truman Show? That's what it is. It's like the president is acting in a play that he doesn't realize he's acting in. And the odd thing about the presidency, and I'd been through three of them, Clinton, Bush, and Obama, and having seen the changeover firsthand between Bush and President Obama, it's strange because when they first come into office, it's almost like they get it. They realize, like, this is really weird, like I'm the president. You can almost see it in their eyes. Like, they look around, wow, all these people are following me everywhere. This is incredible. I mean, it'd be strange for you, too.
Sure.
But as time goes on, about 6 months, maybe a year, what winds up happening is nobody who ever interacts with the president isn't screened for something. I mean, even people who come in to rallies, the staff, or the Secret Service doesn't keep protesters out, but the staff generally picks who's there and who gets to ask the questions. Everything is scripted. So the president will be at a so-called town hall, and I'm using air quotes here, and all these questions, they'll start with something like, Mr. President, you are absolutely wonderful. I love you so much. Let me ask you a question. How successful on a scale of 1 to 10 is Obamacare? I have it at a 9.9. What do you have it at?
Right.
And the president's sitting there going, this is great. So Obamacare's terrific. Folks, this is what really happens. If you only saw behind the scenes how distorted the president's view of the world is, you'd be amazed.
And what you're saying is not only is it distorted, but that he becomes a part of that distortion in the sense that he buys into it. He becomes part of the play and no longer has a true sense of reality.
Right. And that distorted reality, the downside to this is, you know, when you watch that movie, the Truman Show, and you see Jim Carrey in this totally fictitious world where everybody's acting around, one day he wakes up. The problem with that is the president never wakes up until he leaves office. And even then, he's still surrounded by acolytes. And all of the bad decisions and that distorted reality he lives in, that, yes, Obamacare is working, it's popular, all the yes people are coming up to him going, don't worry, it's not that bad. I mean, do you really, the president, what you may dislike the president. I certainly disagree with his politics, but I don't dislike it. But I disagree with his politics. I can tell you this. Don't you think it's odd that this healthcare.gov, because I know there are listeners out there going, this guy's got to be crazy, this can't be right. Well, don't you think it's odd that this healthcare.gov, we pump a half a billion dollars into a website that upon being launched crashes immediately? And you think nobody knew? The answer is no. A lot of people knew. But I will almost guarantee you the president couldn't have cared any less, because a bunch of people probably came up to him and said, oh, things will be fine. Don't worry about it. Because they're all yes people. And the downside, the side effect, the massive side effect is who suffers? The American people who are being punished right now under Obamacare.
Absolutely. Dan Lehr Adams here. Now, you're a candidate for the U.S. Congress in Maryland, you, and also you're a former Secret Service agent. In your candidacy and you're running for office, is that going to help you or hurt you in Maryland? Now, other states, people would just say, ooh, this guy, he knows his stuff. Yeah, but in certain states, people may look at you like, oh, you're part of the NSA.
Yeah, well, I've been an adamant, open opponent to the NSA spying scandal, and I do call it a scandal because it's a clear violation of your Fourth Amendment rights. It's actually given me, and that's a perfectly valid and good question, but it's actually given me bona fides and hasn't been a detriment at all, because I explain to people my perspective from the inside, why you never, folks, listen very clearly, everybody turn up the volume on your radio, never give the government information without judicial review if it is protected by the Fourth Amendment. Never. It's not a matter, trust me when I tell you this, it is not a matter of if it will be abused. It is only a matter of when.
Hear, hear.
Yeah, do never, ever give the government information. I mean, I from an insider's perspective, please, they will use it to leverage against you later on at some point. That's why we have a Fourth Amendment.
Just like spurned lover.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a great analogy, and you're absolutely correct.
Dan, you are a candidate for the Congress this year?
This year, that's right, 2014, right.
And do you have a website set up where people can find out more about your campaign and perhaps help you out?
Well, thank you very much. Yes, Bongino, BONGINO.com.
All right.
Appreciate that.
Bongino.com, and we'll put a link to that on ours as well. Let me ask you this about you were talking about computers and Obamacare and the website and everything. Now, you were a computer crimes specialist when you first entered the Secret Service. As a matter of fact, you basically wrote the book on how to approach these crimes. Is this website, now you just mentioned not giving any information, does that go for this website and the fact that it is totally lacking in security?
Well, that's what we did. We did back-end fraud through computers as the Internet was exploding. I did a lot of work with eBay back then. And, folks, I'm not trying to scare you, and you can take this as a political play. Take it as you will. If you give your information to this website, you're out of your mind. There's a headline right now on Drudge that people from Belarus, who they can't even appropriately vet right now, may have written malicious code into the Obamacare system. So as you're typing this in, there could be a potential virus in there that's, as you're typing it in, taking the information and collecting it. I've seen 1,001 computer crimes, from credit card fraud to bank fraud, you know, to back-end eBay fraud scams. And this thing was not only not given the appropriate security certificate to start, which ironically, guys, if you were to start a website and to take credit cards, you would need some kind of security vetting. But the federal government could take millions of people's information and not even get the security certificate that the federal government mandates everyone else has. This thing's a mess. I would never give my information to it.
By the way, Dan got his start in law enforcement in New York. You were what, a New York detective, New York City Police Department?
No, I was just a police officer. Yeah,
police officer. Okay, and then you went into the Secret Service, and obviously you found your calling, if you will, there. You talked about the president's life being scripted. Does that go for both Democrats and Republicans? Does it happen to be one more than the other, or is basically what you're describing part of the presidency more than the party?
Well, it is Democrats and Republicans, and I've been very clear to not, I don't want to say take shots, but to criticize policies of some of the policies of George W. Bush that I didn't like either. I thought him and President Obama were both good men, but I didn't, you know, I disagree with a lot of their policies. But it is a function not of the Democrat versus Republican. It's more of a function of who you're willing to bring in to give you a realistic viewpoint of what's going on in the real world. And I'll give you a bipartisan example. I'm a Republican, but President Clinton did have some people in there who were willing to tell him, hey, this really isn't a good idea. You see one of them now on Fox, Dick Morris. You know, you may not like him, but he was there, and he was one of those guys who would say, I don't think this is a good policy, and here's why. You know, you have to remember, it was Clinton who said the era of big government is over.
Right.
That was kind of pushed on him more.
Right. But you don't see that so much with President Obama?
No, and I think it's his lack of experience. I've said this over and over. I think he treats government as kind of like a shiny new toy. It's almost like an 18-year-old with a Corvette who just learned how to drive. It's almost, when he gets into an accident, in some respects, it's almost not his fault. We should have never given him the keys to the car. The president
wasn't
ready.
Justin Bieber.
That's right. He's
right,
running.
Justin, there you go. I'm going to steal that one.
He's running everybody off the road in the process. Look, we only have time for one last question. You talk in your book about Fast and Furious, Benghazi, the Boston bombings being harbingers, perhaps, of things to come. What did you mean by that?
Well, the president's been weaponizing government, and there's no question about that. The IRS scandal as well, which unfortunately broke after I had finished the book and I put in the afterword. Folks, he doesn't see constraints by government. He sees government as a tool, not of service, but a tool of enforcement. When I say enforcement, I don't mean law enforcement. I mean political enforcement. Folks, that is extremely dangerous. We start getting into some very, very dangerous third world country stuff when you start sicking the IRS, the ATF, and other law enforcement agencies that have the ability to both take your liberty and life, and you start sticking them on political opponents. It's a big deal.
Hey, great work, Dan. We appreciate you being on the show. I'd love to have you back. This is fascinating information. This is the kind of stuff we really need to get out there.
Best of luck. We need people like you.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Help them out at Bongino.com. We'll be right back.
Here is tonight's American Adversary SoundbiteRx.com News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Tonight's SoundbiteRx.com News Minute is being brought to you by Lake Mary Jewelers. For that special gift, for that special someone, go to Lake Mary Jewelers at the intersection of Lake Mary Boulevard and Lake Emma Road. Call them today, 407-878-6230. Now, here's Christopher Hart with Ted Bogert of SoundbiteRx.com.
Ted,
In his interview with Bill O'Reilly just prior to the Super Bowl, President Obama suggested that all is well with the healthcare.gov website and Obamacare was living up to expectations. Well, SoundbiteRx.com has confirmed once again the expectations it's living up to aren't his.
Well, I mean, I don't even know how the man gets on television and says that with a straight face, but that's a whole hour and a half show in and of itself, Chris. So here's the first article we have on SoundbiteRx.com. The California insurance rates have skyrocketed for Obamacare policies. This is 306,000 Anthem Blue Cross customers. They've seen rate hikes as high as 25%. And what's happening in California is that there is really no warning. This is just happening. It's happening as of April 1st, and now they're being notified. And I want to also say that I have personally experienced that, and I want to talk about this on another show. My rate went up 25% pre-Obama. I just had this done yesterday. And they may not renew me, and I may be stuck having to buy an even more expensive Obamacare policy as of March 1st. So what California is going through is going on in the entire country, and it personally impacted me, and I know a lot of people that it's impacted.
Many of our listeners, all of our listeners in one way or another, tragic as it is, though, that was pretty much predicted. We've talked about this on our show for many months now. But in that other story that you mentioned, SoundbiteRx.com has an example of something that no one expected to happen thanks to Obamacare.
Well, and here we go. We go to prescription drugs. We go to the generic drugs, and the prices of those are soaring because of the increased demand from Obamacare. So what's going on is they're actually have even shown up to a 6,000% increase for some of the common drugs, one of them being doxycycline. Cycline, which is an antibiotic, that went up 1,000% in 2013. And what's happening is all these pharmacies are trying to meet the demand, and because of Obamacare, it's supposedly more accessible, but that doesn't mean anyone took into consideration how much more it was going to cost to get the basic drugs that people need to fight off the infection, to treat their cholesterol. I'm talking about drugs that we all take every day. You're seeing a huge spike in the cost.
And I'm sure we're going to see more and more of this sort of thing. And, of course, we can rely on you and SoundbiteRx.com to keep us up to date. Thanks, Ted. Once again, folks, go to SoundbiteRx.com. It's good medicine. We'll be right back.
It's political, professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries.
Okay, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. What a fascinating interview. Boy, we have got to get that man back on the show. You are listening to the American Adversaries in Drive Time on AM 660. The Answer, coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. That's right, folks, for the best in Mercury Free dentistry, call Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399 and tell him Chris said hey. All right. Speaking of hey, let's go to our man who always makes hay. And of course, we're talking about our executive producer, Nostra Dennis. How you doing this afternoon, Dennis?
I am well, boys. How are things in the Mercury Free Studios?
Ah, Mercury Free.
Well, that's the way they should be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What a fascinating man and interview that was, Dennis. Great snag on that.
Yeah, you know, like our friend Ken Vihek, there's about six different interviews you can do with this guy, just depending on what you want to talk to him about.
Yeah,
I mean, just this NYPD stuff alone would take up a whole show.
I know. I didn't really delve into that at all, but that's a fascinating part of the man's life, too. And his first part of his career at the Secret Service, doing those computer crimes. And what he was just saying, folks.
Worked for three presidents.
I think I've said something similar to, you know, you have to have your head examined or something if you're going on Obamacare, if you're giving the government all this information. But to hear it come from the lips of a former Secret Service agent and a computer crime specialist at that.
Yeah.
Boy. That's pretty powerful stuff.
Now, just so you folks know listening, if you go to our Facebook page, American Adversaries, there's a link right there to Dan's website if you want to learn more about him and maybe contribute to his congressional campaign. It's real easy, though. It's www.bongino.com. He got that website.
That's right. That's BONGINO.com. And the great, fascinating book, Life Inside the Bubble. You know, when I read that part about the president's life being scripted, I mean, how many times have we said on this show that, you know, politics and professional wrestling, you got the scripted storylines? Little did I know how accurate that was.
Yeah, and you know, when the mask slips just a little bit, when President Obama goes off his storyline, when the teleprompter fails, that's when you see what's really behind it, isn't it?
Yeah, but I also think that his characterization of, and as Lair put it, the Justin Bieber type thing, he's, and I've said this all along, I've often thought the man...
A touch of arrogance.
Well, not only that, but he was just not experienced enough, just in a way not old enough, maybe not in years, but you know what I'm saying, not old enough to be president of the United States, and that's kind of exactly what Dan said. So it was very, very interesting to talk with him and hear his take on things. And it just reinforces my opinion, folks, that to stay away from that healthcare.gov website because, yes, you don't know who else is tapping into that information besides those in the government. I'm sorry?
He saw that same tip that you and I saw this morning on the Salem tip sheet, that the Belarus government, people who work for the Belarus government helped produce this website.
Isn't that something?
Crazy.
Well, they've already caught people in California that are hired to help you navigate through this website that are convicted criminals. Some of them are pedophiles.
But convicted of fraud, convicted of identity theft, and they are doing this.
Yeah. Of course, the most troubling thing I think he said in the interview was that toward the end where he was talking about President Obama, what do you call it, militarizing or criminalizing, you know, the...
Militarizing the different facets of government.
Yeah, the use of the executive powers to go after political opponents. And, of course, the IRS scandal is one example of that. I believe the Dinesh D'Souza thing has a flavor of that, if you will. Although, just as a side note, I did listen this morning when Mike Gallagher interviewed him, and he replayed the interview later on in the show, but I heard the original interview. And I must say, I did not hear either one of them saying that Dinesh didn't do what he was accused of doing. Now, perhaps that's because of he's basically on thin ice anyway, out there giving interviews, to be honest with you, when you're under indictment about that which you are under indictment for. But I did not hear any protests that he didn't do what he was being said to have done, only that others had done it and weren't being treated the same way. That gives me a little bit of pause that I hope that he didn't actually do these things, because if he did, he just hung himself out to dry, and the government's only too happy to be the ones to dry him out.
Well, let's just hope he's got someone who can help him with the editing on his next movie, America, which is due out next year, because he may not be around when it opens.
And he's got another book coming out as well. But to get back to Dan, I think nonetheless, D'Souza is right that he is being held to a different standard. And I believe it's because he got under Obama's skin. And that's one thing that he said in the interview, that people that...
Paybacks are hell.
Well, that people that know Obama knew that he didn't like what D'Souza had done in that movie 2016. Not just because he had attacked him on the politics, but that he had gone basically and into the psyche of Barack Obama and how he was raised and his father and all that. And it got under Barack's skin, which isn't that hard to do. But once again, fascinating interview. Please help this man out in his campaign. If nothing else, send him well wishes, but a few bucks would also help at Bongino.com. And as Nostradamus said, you can go to our Facebook site as well. And it'll link right to that. And we'll work on getting him back again in the future. Fascinating interview. By the way, he did run for Senate. I believe the last election cycle up there, he lost in a three-way race. He had won the Republican nomination, and he lost in a close three-way race to the incumbent in Maryland there. Real quick, I just want to talk a little bit about, you know, Dirty Harry Reid was summoned, if you will, to the White House. I don't know if you could say you summoned Dirty Harry Reid, but he was, let's just say, invited to the White House to talk with the president along with some other Democrats. And it's because of the problems they are having within the party. Right, Dennis?
Yeah, well, he was asked to get together so they can kind of map out the course of where the Democrats are going this fall. And I don't know, Chris, I really don't know that President Obama gets the problems that he's creating for his own party in this next election.
And I think that our guest, Dan Bongino, just told us why. He's surrounded with people who are telling him, you know, if there's a problem, President, it'll be taken care of. Everything is fine. You're a great man.
Everybody loves you.
Yeah, it becomes an addiction after a while that it really does alter your view of reality. And perhaps when the president sits there and tells us that he didn't know, maybe he didn't, which is not a great thing in and of itself. But, you know, if you're being basically, you know, catered to and kissed up to on a regular basis, how can you have an accurate representation of the world? And when Obama doesn't seek that alternate, that's one thing I was impressed when he said Bill Clinton at least had people who would tell him, listen, Mr. President, you're nuts, basically. But with this guy, we don't have that.
Yeah, one of the guests that we're working on, John Rizzo, former CIA guy who was actually wrote a book that in which he claims that President George W. Bush did not know initially about the waterboarding that was going on. In Bush's own book, he says he does. He says he did know. Rizzo was saying no. At the very beginning, he was shielded from that. He was kept from being made aware of the details.
You know who I believe?
John Rizzo.
Both men. Both men. In other words, how could Bush know if he didn't know? You know what I'm saying? Although he can think he knew. You follow what I'm saying?
Sure, that makes sense.
All right.
Plausible deniability.
Right. By the way, the Democrats are PO'd about a lot of things. They are differing now. They're openly differing with the president on free trade agreements. Harry Reid says there won't be any, at least not fast-tracked. They're mad about energy. They want that Keystone pipeline. They are now feeling the pressure from the unions. Healthcare, the healthcare thing, the Obamacare is a huge disaster for them. And even the flood insurance bill that's beginning to work its way through Congress, the Democrats are beginning to revolt. You know, and this is something that I said, even though I predicted Romney would win, I constantly threw out the caveat, but if Lehrer's right, if Obama does win, that's the bad news. The good news is the Democrats are going to give him heartburn. And sure enough, that's exactly what's happening. Dennis?
That's right. He's being hit by his own side. And, you know, Chris, I teased you earlier today talking about how I'm going to get you. Going to give you one of those "see, I told you so" moments. Do you want it now or you want it after the break?
I want it after the break because right now, Nostradamus, I'm feeling so good. I want to give away some Roxy Pacifics. How about that?
You're generous.
The stuff's on the rocks. It's provided on the rocks. That's courtesy of Roxy Pacifics. This is the great new all-natural kelp water, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory. You need this stuff in your medicine cabinet. You need it for those minor scratches, scrapes, and burns, and those chronic conditions, the rashes and the scalp conditions, and sore throats, that sort of thing. This stuff is great for all those uses. You can clean your ears with it. It's all natural. It's enhanced with vitamins and minerals. It's what I call the right chemistry to make your skin grow. If you'd like a free bottle, call right now. The only rule is you cannot have already gotten a free bottle. The first two callers at 407-774-8255 will get a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics. It's great stuff. Ed and is a great guy, and we really fortunate to have him around, folks. When you want to go to his website to find out more, it's ROCZEY Pacifics with an X.net. And the prices that you see for the bottles is the total price, includes shipping and handling.
It's an amazing product, folks. Again, we tell everyone, once you get a bottle of it, you're going to order more. It's something you're always going to have around for every kind of bug bite, itches, jellyfish stings, scalp problems. Like Chris said, almost anything, including your pets and kids. Anyway, we'll be back, including Nostradamus, in just a moment.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I took on the Iron Sheik from Iran. I took on Nikolai Volkov from the USSR. I took on Andre the Giant from France. I just want you to know, time for more political mayhem with the American adversaries. Tough guy, how about a ho?
Hoes.
lawnmowers and other gardening equipment, rakes and shovels and anything else. Folks, the American Adversaries are back. Lair Adams here with Christopher Hart on the line right now. We have the man with the amazing power to predict the past. I'm going to prove it right now. Nostradamus, who won the Super Bowl last Sunday night?
That was the team that ape in Salt Lake City picked.
That's right. That ape is now 7-0.
I don't know how you do that, Dennis. I just don't know how you do it. Well, let me ask you another question.
I was going to say, don't let them call you that, Dennis.
He's just monkeying around, I know. All right, Nostradamus. One of our favorite people, Ben Carson, is he back in the news?
Yes, he is. Let me read a little bit from the press release he put out today. It doesn't take a brain surgeon like me to see that America is facing serious problems. And now the number one problem is Obamacare. Drop coverage, failing websites, skyrocketing premiums, the list goes on and on. That's why we're launching. Now, Chris, here's the I told you so moment. SaveOurHealthcare.org. See, you were saying Obamacare shouldn't be scrapped. It shouldn't be gotten rid of. It shouldn't be thrown up in a little cube and tossed in the garbage. It should be saved. And so he's decided to come up with a group called SaveOurHealthcare, all one word. .org. He's going to be the chairman, and go to the website to find out how you can help Dr. Ben Carson save our health care.
Well, I believe the word I used was rescue, but yeah, it's the same idea. Instead of, we're going to have to move away from the repeal notion, all right? That's already been trashed. But saving it, rescuing it, that we can do. And in the process of saving it and rescuing it, we actually make a system that is the proper way to do this.
That's right. He writes here, I wish I could snap my fingers and make Obamacare disappear tomorrow, but we both know that won't happen. So it's a realistic way to try to reform the mess we're stuck with.
Yeah. And in the end, it may be the only way to reform it.
Here's the question, Dennis. Is the IRS going to come after him?
I think they already have. I think they've already been.
I'm sure they've been looking through trying to find what they can audit.
I believe they have. Yes, they've already been auditing him. By the way, real quickly, congratulations to Lee from Winter Park and David from Apopka. They have won tonight's free bottles of Roxy Pacifics. And it is great stuff, folks. And you'll be able to throw a bunch of that stuff in your medicine cabinet away, all those creams and ointments and things. And this is easy to use, and it's nice and clean. And if you spill it, no big deal. Roczey Pacifics with an X.net. Great stuff. It's on the rocks. We'll be doing it again. I tell you what, we'll probably do it again this week. And of course, we do it every Sunday night as well. Yeah, Reagan used to have a plaque on his desk, I believe, that said, it's amazing what you can accomplish if you're not concerned about who gets the credit. And in this case, if we want to have something, if all Obama really needs is something to call Obamacare, that's fine if it's called Obamacare, as long as it is not what we know as Obamacare. So it doesn't have to be quote-unquote repealed. What it has to be is fixed. And in the process of fixing it, that may mean getting rid of a lot of it. So I like the approach. Hats off. What's the website again, Nostradamus?
It is SaveOurHealthcare.org.
SaveOurHealthcare.org.
And I believe Thursday night, Chris, don't we have an insurance person coming in that we're going to discuss this with?
Well, the old insurance guy, our friend Denny Weinberg. Yeah,
right.
He's going to come back and talk with us. So we'll have to, because that's really the approach that he took. If you remember, Dennis, he had a whole list of things to quote-unquote change in the bill, which would basically be replace in the bill.
Right. If you go to oldinsuranceguy.com, every day he puts something new up there.
Yeah. So hopefully these guys are already working together. If not, maybe we can be matchmakers. All right. Nostradamus, you had another story about the secular world encroaching, if you will, into the religious realm.
Yeah. This is a group called the Freedom From Religious Foundation that is messing around with a North Carolina football coach, Hal Capps, who has been ordered to stop praying with his students.
Now, wait a minute. North Carolina, you mean NC State or North Carolina Tar Heels? You talking about college football?
Talking about a high school coach.
Okay. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mooresville High School is the place where he coaches. And In a letter to the school district, this Freedom From Religious Foundation writes, it's a violation of the Constitution for this coach to organize, lead, or participate in prayers or other religious proselytizing before, during, or after games and practices. Well, the players are standing behind the coach. Dallas Jackson is a player who says, this is the best coach I've ever had, and I'm twice the guy and player I was when I came to Mooresville as a freshman. Coach always gives you the option. If you don't want to pray, you can step out. You don't have to pray.
So these people have a problem because this man is praying with his team.
Before and after the game. And Jackson, the student who's mentioned here, says, if the coach is told he cannot pray, the players will continue to lead the team in prayer.
Now, the reason I ask you, was this college? Because I know after many college football games, you will see the whole team, oftentimes with the coach and many members of the coaching staff, kneel down right there on the field and say a prayer.
In a lot of games, you will see both teams come together at the 50-yard line and kneel in prayer.
Now, you're telling me that liberals who want us all to live in peace and harmony are against something that brings together people in peace and harmony.
Well, sure, because it excludes people who don't like it.
If they choose to be excluded.
Yeah, well, that's not fair, is it?
I thought that was the very definition of fairness in a lot of ways. That's just me, though. I'm not a brain surgeon. By the way,
we should stop the football game for people to bow before Mecca at certain times.
Now, that would probably go down just fine. By the way, Nostradamus, a couple of Sundays ago, I think, you gave us the most religious and the least religious cities in the United States. There's a new list out, I understand.
That's right. Gallup poll is at it again. They give us the last one. This one is the most and least religious states, based on how respondents describe themselves as very religious. And Florida and Minnesota are smack dab in the middle. They are tied for 25th and 26th place.
Wow.
So we're kind of sort of, but not really that religious.
That's a bit of a change, I believe, for Florida, because Florida used to be considered a part of the Bible Belt, quote unquote.
Yes, not so much anymore.
Huh. Plus, you have a lot of Hispanics here.
Well, but many of them are, Catholic.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I see what your point. Yeah. Go ahead, Dennis. I'm sorry.
The most religious state, Mississippi, right behind it, Utah, and a bunch of other Bible Belt states right behind them, Alabama, Louisiana, South Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia, Arkansas. The least religious states seem to be in the upper left and upper right of the country, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, Massachusetts. Oregon is number five.
Is that right? So Vermont is the least religious state in the union?
Yep, that is correct.
Wow. Well, I guess that makes sense. The liberal secularists, many of them come from that northeast region up there. So the northeast...
Can't get much more liberal than Vermont and New Hampshire.
Yeah, the northeast and the northwest. Must be something in the water up there.
Well, you got the Wicked Witch of the East or the Wicked Witch of the West.
That's what it is. All right. Well, that Wicked Witch of Time has run out on us once again, Nostradamus. Great work. Great guest today. God bless you. We couldn't do the show without you.
Great. We'll get Dan back on again soon, I'm sure of it.
All right. Okay. Thanks a lot.
I'll get you and your little dog, too.
By the way, Nostradamus has lined up our good friend B. Brian Blair to be on the show with us tomorrow night. There's a congressional seat up over there in that Pinellas County region.
Tampa
over there.
Area.
Yeah, he's going to update us on that and perhaps his own political aspirations. And by the way, folks, Valentine's Day is coming up. A great gift would be a cruise.
Oh, yes.
You could either take it on that Valentine's Day weekend or just get a cruise and you guys take it some other time. Hey, if you want to do something special for that person you love, take them on a cruise. What more romantic thing can you do for Valentine's Day? So please give Mary Lee a call at Vacation Travel Planners. 321-251-4777 is her number. She'd love to hear from you.
And she's going to remember it more than probably anything else you can get her. What, a blender or a dishwasher for Valentine's Day? Come on, guys. Do something a little bit more romantic. A cruise is the perfect thing, and Mary Lee can set you up. American Adversaries will be back like we always are at 5 o'clock, except for Saturday nights. Sunday nights, of course, we're here for 3 hours. Have a wonderful evening.
Night, everybody.
AM 660, The Answer.